Good evening, Truth Seeker. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And we're welcoming tonight another affiliate to Nova M Radio, especially to this program, The Quake, 960 AM in San Francisco. Welcome back, guys and girls. The Quake used to carry our program in that city, and then when we were on Air America, and then, of course, when the doo-doo hit the fan, we had to part company. We are so glad to be back on the air in San Francisco. So if you are listening via The Quake, 960 AM, hi, and thank you. And, of course, our KPHX listeners, the flagship station of this network in Phoenix, Arizona, and one station at a time, Nova M Radio, and this program is expanding until finally we're going to be on at least four stations. No, I'm just kidding. We'll be as many as we can get. this is a very weird night for me because of what's about to occur starting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, Election Day 2006. It's especially weird for us here in Georgia because we run the risk of vote counting that will be illegal as hell and as crappy and dishonest as possible, but we still have to go vote. This is true all over the country. If you are voting on a touchscreen machine, if those machines were chosen by your Secretary of State or whomever in your state government makes those decisions, so be it. You have to go. Vote stealing only works when the elections are very, 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 very close. And I think enough scandal and corruption and mismanagement of this government has occurred by the Republican Party that it's not going to be as close as some of the pundits are saying it is. So it is utterly imperative. I'm not saying this to you. I don't lecture adults. I'm saying this to myself, and you are overhearing it. It's extremely important to go vote tomorrow. Extremely important if you are a normal American. Now, I've said before, this would be a good time for Republicans to just take a breather. Your party has so corrupted this country, has so perverted the system, that maybe you guys and gals who claim to be Republicans and who somehow have wound up as the party of gay baiters when your party is practically run by gay folk, like any enterprise. I mean, this is a part that just freaks me out. Every time there's a revelation of somebody's gay in the evangelical ministry or the Republican Party leadership, everybody goes, "Oh, my God." When it's so asinine. The only reason it's shocking is because people somehow feel it must be kept a secret. What is it that people don't understand that homosexuals, heterosexuals, both constitute a certain percentage of the population at large, and both are involved in government and religion and finance and business and the military, To the same extent that they're represented in the general population? Duh! I mean, why is that so hard for people to understand? And all of a sudden, it turns out this poor, miserable bastard, Ted Haggard, Oh, my God. I'm just going to dwell on this for a second, and then I'm going back to the important things. But the confession, or whatever the hell it was, that one of his interlocutors read to the 12,000 or 14,000 people that assembled at this poor, miserable church last Sunday, yesterday. The speech that Ted, the confession that Ted Haggard offered out there, you know, some evil thing had gotten a hold of him. And, you know, as if what was the evil thing, Ted? The evil thing was your hypocrisy. That was the evil thing. Do you want people to believe that your gayness or your bisexuality was evil? It is, of course, that's what he wants. The 14,000 people in his congregation and the evangelicals around the country, the 30 million people who allegedly claim to be an evangelical. Out of those 30 million evangelicals, you know how many are gay? Would you like to guess? My God. So Ted Haggard talks about the evil that had him around the throat. Well, that may have been the methamphetamine that you were buying and throwing away. But it damn sure wasn't the gayness that you were experiencing, you idiot. It was your hypocrisy. Your hypocrisy. Standing out there and demonizing people because of who they are. And you call yourself a Christian. You're no more of a Christian than Kim Il-crazy in North Korea is a Christian. Anyway, I digress. Republican Party, with their gay baiting, with their disrespect for our soldiers, and the disrespect is not ill-equipping them. The disrespect is not taking 40-year-old reservists who have families and mortgage payments and sending them into a combat zone. The disrespect shown by the Bush crime family, the Republican Party, to our military, is the fact that these sons of bitches initiate wars to begin with. Wars that have no basis in reason, no justification. Except, as Bush is now saying, it is the oil. Remember before the war, what was it, 10 million, 20 million people worldwide? In cities and capitals all around the planet, no blood for oil. And Cheney and Rumsfeld just denigrated that and lit their legs and urinated all over, figuratively speaking. The millions upon millions of dedicated Americans and Brits and French and I don't know, Iranians and Liberians and whoever. And said, no, this is not about oil. And now Bush comes out, and we'll have this for a little bit later in the program, and it is for oil. The Republican Party has warped, broken, cracked, distorted every single institution. The Constitution of the United States? Oh, my God. The right to privacy? Oh, my God. The right to travel freely? Oh, my God. The right to share the financial burden of running this republic? All of a sudden it's on my back and your back because we are middle class or working class and the wealthy are saying, screw you. We don't have to do this. We're Republicans. Only the problem with that is so many people who consider themselves to be Republicans are watching their factories close and their businesses go, I don't know, China? Vietnam? This is what the Republican Party has done. A woman's right to privacy, to make decisions about her own body, a man's right to privacy about his credit card purchases or his bankruptcy filings, or a woman's. All of that just washed away, gone. Gone. Because of the Republicans. So, if you are a Republican, is this what you want? I just, you know, I knew Republicans growing up, and I never considered Republicans when I was a kid growing up to be evil like this and sick and degenerate and so willing to work against their own best interests. Why don't you clean the garbage out of your party? Honest to God, why don't you Republicans? Let him die on the vine this time. What do you have to put up with for 2 years? Democrats trying to repair the damage for a couple of years? Is that so bad? Is that really bad? If you're Demo, if you're a Republican, please give it a rest tomorrow. We're going to talk briefly tonight with Nancy Skinner, running for Congress in Michigan, who just picked up Bill Clinton's endorsement. Steve Sinton, who is running here in Jordan, Steve Sinton in Georgia. I'm sorry. I'm just, like I said, it's a weird, weird night, this election eve. Stay with us, all right? Right after the break, we'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Again, welcome to 960 The Quake in San Francisco. We're glad to have you folks back. Now, as far as tomorrow night is concerned, expanded election night coverage, how often have you heard that term in the past 24 hours? It'll be live here on Nova M Radio Network and KPHX. I'm not sure about the affiliates until 2 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow night. Greg Palast will provide some, color commentary. And KPHX talk hosts Cynthia Black and Jeff Farias will be joining us here on the Malloy program as well for the last 2 hours. And then we'll be handing off the program to Cynthia at 1 a.m. Eastern time, and she and her staff, her crew, will finish the coverage herself. Don't miss a minute tomorrow night. There's going to be a lot of competition for your viewing or your listening, and we will probably have CNN and MSNBC, just for the hell of it, on here in the studio ourselves. But, turn on the TV and just turn the sound down, because what we'll be talking and screaming about will probably be a lot more interesting. And we have some truly crazy Election Eve sound clips for you tonight. Elizabeth Dole and Rush Limbaugh. There's a match made in hell, huh? They've all got the same talking points from Karl Rove. And, that the Democrats seek failure in Iraq. That's right. We want terrorists on the streets of Chicago. We want bombs going off in buses in Phoenix. And I don't know, we want mad groups of terrorists roaming the streets of San Francisco until we're happy. Yeah, it's the Democrats' fault that Bush keeps Rummy in power and keeps throwing American soldiers into the meat grinder. It's the Democrats! Oh, and Clinton. Oh, and his penis. That's who and what is to blame. Oh, and the Democrats wanted Saddam to go free, and they're upset with the guilty verdict. Yeah, that's sane. Nothing crazy about that way of thinking, eh? So we want you to hear Elizabeth Dole from Meet the Press yesterday. You talk about a woman who is really had one too many pecan pralines to eat. Oh, my God, is this woman out of control. And the pig man, well, he's always nuts, but wait till you hear him tonight. Now, if you go to TVNewsLies.org, and I'd like you to do that, they have something up, you should not vote if. Go to TVNewsLies.org. It's a public service message from TVNewsLies.org. Do not vote if you get your facts from corporate TV news or radio. Do not vote if you have no factual information about the issues. Don't vote if you don't hold your government accountable. Don't vote if you support a candidate without specific reasons. And don't vote if you believe what is said in smear campaigns. Now, it goes on to ask whether or not you're an informed voter. And here's some questions. Now, if you can't answer yes to most, if not all of these, maybe tomorrow you ought to just, do something else. Do you know how many convicted felons Bush has appointed to office? Do you know how many international treaties the Bush administration has broken? Do you know how many environmentally vital life-protecting regulations have been eliminated by Bush, and that he's considered the worst environmental president in U.S. history? Do you know how many members of the Bush administration have been employed by companies who are making a fortune because of the Iraq invasion? Do you know what PNAC is, and which of its members are in charge of the foreign policy of your country? Do you know that Dick Cheney used Iraqi oil maps to plan his energy policy during secret meetings in April 2001? Do you know how many people have been detained in the U.S. without being charged with any crime or without access to legal assistance? Do you know how many lawsuits Dick Cheney has been involved in during the past 3 years? Do you know how many investigations for serious felonies the White House is involved in? Do you know that huge funds and resources for the war on terror were diverted to the invasion of Iraq? Do you know that despite the growing deficit, the failed war in Iraq will cost taxpayers $1 trillion or more? Do you know that George Bush has isolated the U.S. from the global community? Do you know how many people in this country are unemployed who were working prior to the Bush presidency? Do you know that the Medicare bill was passed through Congress by a person who quit after the bill passed to work for a company that will make money representing the pharmaceutical industry? Do you know that the new Medicare bill does not permit price negotiations for prescription drugs? Do you know how the Bush tax cuts have resulted in increased local taxes and reduced public services like education and fire departments and parks and police and health care and highway development? Do you know that for 12 weeks, Bush totally ignored the potential criminal exposure of a CIA operative by someone in the White House? Do you know that at least 4 Supreme Court justices will be appointed by the next sitting president? And do you know that George Bush has failed at virtually every level of leadership from the moment he assumed office? If you answer yes or no to any of those, whether or not you vote tomorrow,
I mentioned early on that I recognize there are hurdles and we're going to achieve those hurdles. There's no doubt in my mind we will.
Going to achieve those hurdles. All right, well, you just go right ahead, monkey boy. Please, if you're a Democrat, go out and vote tomorrow. If ever there was an election where every one of us must go to the polls, this is it. Elizabeth Dole, who, I don't know, I guess there's no point in talking nasty about her. She is, other than say she's an utter freak. She ran the Red Cross for a while, almost ran that into the ground. What's her nickname? Hot Lips? Was it Hot Lips? I think that's what they called her in D.C. I have no idea why. When she was the senator's wife. Anyway, she's now a senator from North Carolina, and I can't think of a more useless politico than Elizabeth Dole. I just can't. If you have followed her career over the years, it's just astonishing how this woman got voted in to be a senator. Oh, my God. Anyway, there's been an uproar here in the past 24 hours, uproar engineered by the Republicans, Matt Drudge and Rush Limbaugh, the neo-Nazis, about how unfair media whore number one Tim Russert was to her on Meet the Press yesterday. Kathy tells me that the pig man spent considerable time on his show today defending her right to make the clinically insane charge the Democrats want to lose the war in Iraq. That somehow Democrats are responsible for all the failures and blood and death. But more on the pig man later. So I want you to hear, let's listen to this exchange between Tim Russert and Elizabeth Dole. And you decide, does he sound too harsh to you? Russert begins by saying, Senator Dole, there are seven key battleground states for the Republicans. Let me start with Pennsylvania. Democrat Bob Casey, our latest poll, 52. Rick Santorum, 39. Ohio, Democrat Sherrod Brown, 50. Mike DeWine, Republican, 44. Now, these are all polls out this morning, Senator Dole. Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, the Republican, 46. Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democrat, 45. Virginia, Jim Webb, the Democrat, 46. George Allen, the Republican, 45. Missouri, Claire McCaskill, the Democrat, 46. Jim Talent, 45. Montana, Conrad Birds, John Tester, dead heat. In Tennessee, the Republican, Bob Corker, 50. Harold Ford, the Democrat, 38. In six of those seven, Senator Dole, the Republican, is either behind or tied. And with Chafee up one,
we've got some internal polls that certainly differ from some of the ones that you just read.
So you're going to sweep them all?
Let me talk about what is normally regarded as you guys talk about the firewall with Virginia and Tennessee and Missouri, and we're winning in all those states. You look in Maryland, and you've got a fresh leadership here in Michael Steele in terms of wanting to really shake up Washington, and his opponent, Ben Cardin, has been in government for 40 years. Michael has just gotten the endorsements of some key African-American leaders in Prince George's County, great leader. Up in Michigan, that state, here's the X factor there. The state is really hurting economically.
But nobody in Michigan has the close.
Michael Bouchard is doing a great job, but let me tell you, they're a late-closing state.
Okay. You've endorsed all your candidates. But bottom line, will the Republicans hold control of the Senate?
Yes, they will. We will hold the majority.
She's confident.
Oh, that's harsh, Tim. That's harsh! She's confident. Oh, Tim, no wonder the pig man beat you and beat you and beat you today. Ease up a little bit there, Tim. After all, she's been through a lot. All those long campaigns with her hubby, the struggle to be a female politician, the ballpoint pen marks all over her back. What? Now, the horrific hammering of poor, defenseless Liddy Dole continues as Tim Russert, Media Whore number one, tries to get her to acknowledge that the war in Iraq is playing a role in this election. Charles Schumer was on this panel, and he had just made a statement, the Democrats will win tomorrow because of Bush's failed Iraq policies. Russert turns to Liddy Dole and asks the following. Senator, Republicans are trying to distance themselves from this president, while Democrats are trying to link Republican candidates with Bush. There's this story, quote, a Republican president normally would not need to come to a conservative bastion such as a Montana this close to an election, nor to Nevada's second district, which has never voted for a Democrat since it was created in 1982, but Bush is playing defense in red state territory, end quote. So, Senator, why are Republican senatorial candidates running away from the president? And why is he only campaigning in traditional Republican states? Is there an issue that's driving this?
No issue.
Well, actually, what Chuck Schumer is trying to do is to nationalize the race. He's trying to make it a referendum. And what our candidates have done, and what I have certainly done at the senatorial committee, is to focus on just what Tom Reynolds has said. May I finish this sentence? Just a moment, and I'll go to that. I just want to point out that it is a choice between two people. It's a comparison. Our candidates are talking about their records on important issues that matter in their states, and that's what they're focused on. In terms of Iraq, people are concerned. I'm frustrated. Obviously, the important thing here is to win this war.
Oh, is that the important thing, is to win the war? Well, I'll tell you what, Liddy, if you can move some of them pralines out of your mouth, what we're going to have to do up there in Iraq is take some nuclear weapons, or else get our buddies, the Israelis, to take the nuclear weapons and just turn that whole useless country into glass. I mean, it's all full of sand. Put a great big old couple of nuclear fireballs on top of that, Liddy, and it'd just be glassed. And all them Iraqi terrorists, they'd all be dead, wouldn't they? Huh? But I know the damn Democrats just want to lose. That's all. Democrats don't have any guts at all. Now, a real American would drop a couple of nukes over there, right, Liddy? Liddy, you sure do talk like you got a mouthful of something. I'm assuming it's pralines, but, you know, you never know. And about those ballpoint pen marks on your back, Liddy. Finally, Dole just came out and said it. Democrats want to lose in Iraq and Republicans want to win, which begs the question, what's been stopping them? Huh? Listen to this wild exchange with Dole, Rahm Emanuel, and Russert. It's crazy time. And then to up the nuttiness, Limbaugh checks in today. All right, we'll have that for you in a second. First, Russert says, Senators, two Republicans have now put comments in Vanity Fair magazine, Senator Dole, which have caused a little bit of stir. Ken Edelman, a lifelong neocon activist and Pentagon insider who served on the Defense Policy Board until 2005, wrote a famous op-ed article in the Washington Post in February 2002 saying, I believe demolishing Hussein and liberating Iraq would be a cakewalk. Now, Senator Dole, he says, quote, I just presume that what I consider to be the most competent national security team since Truman was indeed going to be competent. They turned out to be among the most incompetent teams in the post-war era. Yada, yada, yada. Richard Perl, Senator, chairman of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Advisory Board, said in the past, if he had his time over, he would not have advocated an invasion of Iraq. And it goes on and on. Now, is this constitute flip-flops?
It's almost as if the Democrats, you know, it's like they are content with losing, because to pull out, to withdraw from this war is losing. No question about it.
The Democrats are content with losing.
The Democrats appear to be content with losing, because they're talking about, I want to finish
saying here. No, you mean you're, no, Senator, Senator, wait
no,
one second.
I'm going to finish.
That's a very strong statement, Senator. That's a very strong statement.
Yeah.
You deserve the right to respond.
That is I'd like to finish.
I'll let you back, but Senator, when you make a statement like that, excuse me, when you make a comment like that, I got to give the other side a chance.
But I do need to explain what I mean by that.
You said something that's wrong. Democrats have provided, wait a second, Senator. I understand. I will not sit idly by with an accusation that Democrats are content with losing. We want to win, and we want a new direction to Iraq.
This is losing.
Time out.
You should take that back, Senator. We'll have differences, but we do not do a
You've made your point. You've made your point,
Senator. Taking over a vacuum.
Oh, my God. No wonder the man needs Viagra. Jesus, God in heaven! Good Lord! She just went around that table and castrated all of them, didn't she? Bite, snip, bite, snip! You ain't gonna shut me up. I'm a southern woman. Ain't no power on heaven or earth gonna shut me up. I will keep talking. Screw you, Tim Russert. Screw you, Rahm Emanuel, and the rest of you boys at this table. Y'all sit there and shut up. I'm going to come over and start biting on y'all, too. Here, let me show you these pen marks in my back. You think I'm not serious? I am a southern female senator. I am white. I will rip your asses off, boys. You understand? Rah! Rah! Sewing circle my butt! I'll eat your asses alive!
It wasn't all that long ago that we started military operations. We've been there, how many days? You're counting the days since we've been there, because I'm not.
Did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program?
Oh, God. 10 before the hour. All right, now, moving from the ridiculous, that little round table, either castration or circumcision, whatever the hell it was with Liddy Dole. I'm serious. See, the people who don't live in the South don't understand what a Southern woman like Liddy Dole can do. Southern men can do equal amount of damage. Southern men get us into wars. I'm not disputing. I'm not trying to be a sexist here. But I've been down here for 35 years now. I am telling you. Southern woman, Southern white woman, like Liddy Dole, holy Jesus. So going from that, the ridiculous, to the certifiably nuts, Pigman, Limbaugh, the oxymoron. He comes out today, so to speak. You know, that brings, well, I that's a whole different topic, but I just wish Limbaugh would come out of the closet. That would make it so much easier for so many people in this country. Well, actually, what that would probably drive a lot of gay people deep into the closet. Oh, my God, Limbaugh's one of us. Anyway, he came out today, so to speak, and underscored Liddy Dole's, and Sugar Lips was her name. Thanks, the person sent that to me. Underscored Sugar Lips' talking point about how the Democrats want to continue losing in Iraq. Get this. So they can win the Congress. See, the pig man, the guy who got out of military service because of a huge, ugly mark, the thing on his anus. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Huh? Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It's been a long time since I've received email from people about a Sunday show to this degree about how rude everybody on this show was to Elizabeth Dole. Come on, folks, everybody knows they've tried to sabotage victory in this war, from the trying to defeat the Patriot Act to the Foreign Surveillance Program to undermine terrorist prisoner interrogation. They've done it to letting the legal system try these suspects as criminals rather than let the commander-in-chief prosecute a war. The Democrats have done everything they could. They're the cut-and-run Democrats. Jack Murtha, Pelosi, what do you mean? She is exactly right. They do want to lose. They'll do anything to get their power back.
Can you believe this traitorous dog? Jack Murtha, you are not a hair on Jack Murtha's left foot. I thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Limbaugh, you are a coward. You're a drug abuser. You're a washed up, defeated, has-been talk show radio thug. Not content to leave it at calling Democrats cowards. Remind me again, where was Limbaugh during Vietnam? Oh, that's right. He had a thingy on his anus. Couldn't go in because the thingy prevented him from firing a rifle, apparently. Anyway, the drug-addled, pony-petting, pill-popping freak now claims Democrats are actively thwarting the democratic process. No, pig man, that's what your evil vote-twisting electronic machines are for.
The Democrats are in the business of thwarting the democratic process.
I got your thwart.
The Democrats are in the business of thwarting the popular will because it's not going their way. And that's exactly what what they're doing in trying to sabotage the war. Liddy Dole, I wonder if she was surprised she got this kind of reaction, because everybody knows this about Democrats on the Republican side. Everybody knows they want to lose this. They would love for this war to be lost.
Well, gee, pig man, I guess you haven't read Army Times today, or Navy Times, or Air Force Times, or Marine Times. Oh, that's right. You're an anus cystoid coward, pig man. Why would you read a military newspaper or one that addresses the military? It's Rumsfeld they're telling to resign, not the Democrats. So who do you suppose is right, truth seekers? This cowardly, overfed, drug-addled pig man? Or the people who write for the U.S. military? Last one from L. Rushbo. Democrats not only want us to lose in Iraq, they want Saddam to go free! Democrats are upset that he was found guilty.
The Saddam verdict is not what they wanted. They don't like the hanging. They're afraid of the political results. Democrats are running around saying, it won't mean anything. It won't mean anything. It scares the Democrats all to hell. Remember this. When we meet at dawn tomorrow, remember this. Saddam Hussein would never have been convicted for war crimes if we had listened to Democrats. The verdict that came out over the weekend would never have been reached. Saddam would still be in power, because the only real war criminal in Nancy Pelosi's America is George W. Bush.
Yes!
This is all your choice. Tomorrow, we meet at dawn.
Oh, Christ, I wish we could, Rush.
Oh, I wish we could meet at dawn! I've got a Glock 9mm and a guy who's more than willing to be my second. How about you, anal cyst boy? Huh? We meet at dawn. Okay, I'll do cutlasses. I don't give a damn.
We'll meet at dawn. The only real war criminal in Nancy Pelosi's America is George W. Bush. No, pig man. Cheney is one, too. And Rumsfeld is one, too. And Condoleezza Rice is one, too. And Richard Armitage is one, too. And Richard Pearl is one, too. And Edelman is one, too. And it goes on and on and on and on. There's a big old list of war criminals, anal cyst boy. It's not just Bush by any means, you drug-addled freak. We meet at dawn? We meet at dawn? Oh, my God, Kathy, I'm getting so excited, I don't think I can finish the program. We meet at dawn? When the mist is still hanging on the palm trees down there in Palm Beach? What are we going to do when we meet, Rush? We're going to throw bags of OxyContin at each other, right? Oh, my God. We meet at dawn. Wish I could be there, Rush, for the showdown with my pistol and my seconds. But I'll be with the sane people instead, trying to vote, hoping the machines don't screw me a third time. But you, Rush, yeah! We'll meet at dawn. Oh, if you only knew, sweetie. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio Network. I'm Mike Malloy. And again, welcome to the Quake 960 AM in San Francisco, the newest addition to the Nova M Radio Network and to this program. Nancy Skinner is running for Congress in the 9th District of Michigan, and she's going to win. And today she, or recently, I don't know if it was today, she got the endorsement of former President Bill Clinton. Nancy joins us from someplace in Michigan right now. Nancy, how's it going? Where's Nancy?
Have we come a long way or what, my friend? Can you hear me, Mike?
I hear you now.
Okay. Yes, we've come a long, long way this entire year, but we feel fantastic, in fact. We were just talking about that. People came running in my office today saying, I got a phone call from President Bill Clinton supporting you. That's pretty wild.
Well, it is. You know, and people like you and me and I'm sure your staff, you know, we're not so politically jaded that when an ex-president calls, we just go, oh, yeah, well, that's normal. It is. It's a good thing. It's a nice thing. And I think Clinton is doing a good job. The man has an awful lot of influence with Democrats. It was during his 8 years that this country enjoyed some economic prosperity that has just been trashed by Bush. So it's good that you're endorsed by Clinton. Now, what's the latest from the ninth in terms of how you're going to defeat this Nuhlenberg freak?
Well, there was an article in the Detroit Free Press today that said that the independent is said tied turning toward Dems. That was the name of the article. You can go on my website, skinnerforcongress.com, and read the whole thing. But it said they did a poll, the Detroit Free Press, and in Michigan, and that independents, as you've probably seen all over the news, independents are breaking 18 points more Democratic than Republican last time from the last election. And that's more than I need, Mike, if those people show up and vote tomorrow.
Well, that's the issue, is getting people out. The only thing that bothers me about polling that shows Democrats in some instances so far in the lead and independents so much tired of Bush and his organization is the fact that a lot of people read those polls and say, oh, well, we're so far ahead. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to the polls tomorrow. That's good. And we're running a political ad on this station, this network, that says it is up to you. If you want things to change, you've got to go vote. And that certainly applies in your district.
It's everything. So it's so gratifying to see. We just left my campaign office, and I'm with my parents, Mike. I know my mom and dad say hi.
Tell them I said
they're
hi.
They're here, and all my friends. A lot of people came from Chicago to help. But we had 40 volunteers on the phones, just people who had poured in 2 days, on the phone, and we're talking to voters, and I've already voted for you, or I'm voting for you. One woman said, well, you're calling awfully late. It's almost 8:45, but I want you to know I'm voting for you anyway. People who are, I think, I was going door to door all day today in a really wealthy neighborhood. This is what really gave me hope. Mm-hmm. Very wealthy neighborhood, huge home. And they said, time for change. This woman and her young children said, oh, very time for change. And then another not so wealthy neighborhood I was in, and a woman, a little elderly woman, took me in her house and wanted to talk to me. We sat down. She said, I have voted straight Republican my entire life. And for her, it was the Iraq war. That was the issue. She said, I can't believe what they've gotten us into. And she said, I am not going to do it this time. So a CPA, a very conservative guy, said, always voted for your opponent, Nuhlenberg, today, sent me an email. We just see it anecdotally. We see it in the polls. Again, you got to get the vote out. Luckily, the weather is going to be pretty good, about 54 degrees, chance of rain, but still, not drizzling sleet as you and I have been through in our days in Chicago. So
yeah. Well, let me ask you something. This Nuhlenberg, the guy that you're running against, the Michigan, arguably Michigan's most powerful House member, because he chairs an appropriations subcommittee. He's had no trouble attracting money. He's raised, we understand, has spent $2.5 million. How do you fight that kind of cash, even though you've got the truth on your side and justice on your side and honor on your side? Or am I already answering my own question? How do you fight that kind of cash?
Well, the funny thing about that is that he is arguably the most important Democrat or Republican. I'm sorry, my dad's talking about mayonnaise while I'm talking to you, which is an inside joke.
Right.
But he's arguably the most powerful Republican in the Congress. He's a chair of this committee. All right, that's the Transportation Subcommittee. The funny thing is that Michigan comes second to last in transportation dollars per capita. So how is it that our representative who chairs the Appropriations Transportation Subcommittee ends up getting us in that position to be second to last, the 49th out of 50 states? We did a press release saying Nuhlenberg's faking the bacon.
Well, not only he's faking the bacon, but not only that, why should he work for his district? So many of these Republicans, they don't work for the district except with their mouths. They work for these the corporations that want them to, if they're on an energy committee, the oil companies want special dispensations so they don't have to pay taxes. I'm sure Nuhlenberg is no different.
Oh, his tax contributions were 75 pages long. He's a former insurance guy, so it's oil companies, insurance companies, pharmaceuticals. But to answer your question about how you fight that kind of money, we raised about $350,000. We've been up on network TV. We were on Monday Night Football tonight, Mike. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
We've been on network. We've been on radio. We've been out at print ads. But just kind of another anecdotal story. I was going door to door tonight, and a woman was on her phone when she came to the door. And she saw my sticker, and she said, oh, I'm already voting for that Nancy Skinner. I am so tired of those negative ads that guy's running against her. I could die. I can't believe he's doing that to her. And I said, I am her.
Oh, my
God. And she said, it was funny, just like pics, they pick a picture of you and they put black lighting behind you, like purple lighting.
Oh, I know.
Liberal, she's going to cut and run and raise your taxes and all that. But there really is a sense that people, they get that stuff. And I do think, in past it's worked, but I do honestly think people are seeing through it this time around. Naive, but I really think people know there's desperation and they can smell desperation.
No, I don't think you're naive at all. And I've known you for 10 years. What are you going to do? I guess you're in for the rest of the evening. What is it? A little after 9 o'clock in Detroit? No, a little after 10 o'clock in Detroit. Right. So you're in for the evening. What are you going to do tomorrow? What's your schedule look like tomorrow?
Poll to poll all day. You know, we're going out to vote. We have a very detailed schedule. We're just going from all of our volunteers are working. You know, we still, believe it or not, we have to worry about the vote, and we have areas in Pontiac, Michigan, where the minority, a lot of heavy minority areas, and so we have lawyers out. But I am going poll to poll to poll and shaking voters' hands. And that's, we're working the entire day, as I did up to the last hour. And you can't take it. You got to get the vote out. You can't take anything for granted. But I'll be so happy when I'm done raising money. This is the problem, Mike. When you have to, Democrats, when we have to beg for money for an entire year, something's broken.
Yeah, that's that is so true. It is
you
so
know
true.
How hard that is.
Yeah.
You run for office yourself.
Yeah, well, I did it on a much smaller scale here in Georgia, but the dialing for dollars thing is just, it's exhausting, it's demeaning, it's disillusioning, and I've got to respect you for hanging in. Well, Nancy, I hope, when do the polls close tomorrow in Michigan, 7, or is that a late state?
8 p.m., we are. So is there anyone listening in my district? We still need volunteers. Every volunteer is needed for my whole county. You know, we have important races. Our governor's race, she's running against Dick DeVos, who's the heir to the Amway fortune.
Oh, I'll say it. You're just an insane right-wing maniac.
Yes, he is.
Okay. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but the DeVos family, oh, my God.
Yep, the money that they're behind all the James Dobsons of the world and the Family Research Council. And so we've got that race. My district's very important to that. And Debbie Stabenow's up for re-election. Senator Joe Biden came in. And how's this? I get endorsements from Senator Barack Obama, who came here, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton.
It's good, Nancy. Take it from Uncle Mike. You sound a little bit tired. Take a break. Hi to your mom and dad. I hope the next time I talk to you, I'll have to call you Congresswoman Skinner. Thanks a lot, Nancy. Good luck, okay?
Mike, you've always got my number, the direct line. Thanks so much. Love you both. Okay, take care.
Take care, kiddo. SkinnerForCongress.com. Check it out. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
21 past the hour. I got an email from Steve Sinton. He is exhausted. He's been out ringing doorbells and talking to people all day. Nancy sounded very tired, too. Nancy usually sounds like she's just had about 9 cups of coffee, but not tonight. So Steve Sinton has promised us he'll call in when it's Congressman Steve Sinton. The Corker Harold Ford campaign in Tennessee that everybody said was going to be a Corker victory. They sent out a mailer, and you can find this at several of the websites. What is this one? GorillaWomen.blogspot.com. But it's you can also get it at Daily Kos. It's a mailer, a full-color mailer, and it has a picture of Bob Corker on the front and a picture of Harold Ford Jr. on the front. And the copy underneath says, Bob Corker and Harold Ford are separated by more than their school colors. See, here we go again. Here we go again, these racist bastards. And I live down here. This, I remember when Harvey Gantt, who was the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, black man, was running against the gay-hating, insane Jesse Helms, the Gaddafi of lung cancer, for the whole United States. I mean, what's his name? Jesse never smoked, but he made sure that millions of people died from smoking. He was as big a mass murderer as anybody in the Republican Party. Harvey Gantt, this is back, oh my God, when was this? In 84, maybe? I don't know, it was a long time ago. 86? It's hard to remember. But Harvey Gantt, black man, mayor of Charlotte, was ahead in the polls over Jesse Helms, white man, mass killer for the Senate. And at the last minute, there was a TV ad run by the white man, Jesse Helms, as we used to call him, Jesse Helms. And it showed a white man's hand getting a pink slip and a black man's hand, I believe, getting a paycheck. And the implication was very clear. I know I've got that wrong, but it was very clear what was going on. The Negroes in North Carolina were stealing the decent white folks' jobs. And the only way to fight back against such an irregular thing was to send Jesse Helms back to the United States Senate. So here they go again. This is what happens invariably in the South. It always happens. If there's a close race between a black and a white, oh my goodness, at the last minute, at the very last minute, so there's no time for anybody to file a complaint, there's no time for anybody to scream racism, nuh-uh, because the election, you see, the polls open here in the glorious South in about 9 hours. So there's no time for anybody in Tennessee to say, wait a second, this is so rotten. Oh, well, that's the Republican Party. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take some phone calls here. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Hey there. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's so good to hear you back on the air, I can't tell you.
Well, I'm glad you finally tracked us down. My God, I've got about 8 million people out there saying, where's Marge?
Honor's ever on.
Well, here she is.
You know, Nancy Skinner, and you, the only one missing is Ski Anderson. Where's he? What's he doing?
Ski's not far from you. He works in Lafayette, that we call it Lafayette here in Georgia, but Lafayette, Indiana. He works for a radio station up there. He's, I think, marketing director.
Well, he's going to have
director.
To call in and say howdy one of these days.
I wish he would.
You know, just to keep track of old friends. You know, while you were off sleeping late.
Uh-huh.
I was, trying to find stuff to occupy my time. And I ran across this on PBS.org. There's a show called Now.
Yes.
Are you familiar with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, on the 20th, which is a Friday, is when they taped it. But it runs in Chicago on Sunday at noon. So they had a thing about, I love the term, clean elections.
Yeah.
But really, truly, it's the practice, or I don't know if it's necessarily the law of the land, in Arizona and a couple of states in New England. Maine, I know, is one of them, and I'm not sure what the couple others are.
Uh-huh.
And the candidates have to go out in order to, you know, to get signatures to go on the ballot.
Hey, can you hold right there, Marge? Just hold that thought. Signatures on the ballot. You and I are at that age where if somebody says, hold that thought, we usually forget it. But hold that thought. We'll come back right after the break. All right? We're talking with Marge in Indiana. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Novam Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 26 before the hour. We're talking with Marge, who's called in from Indiana. Let's go back to Marge now. Do you remember where we were?
Signatures.
Right.
Smart Alec. All right. Well, yeah, you're getting close to me, kiddo. Anyhow, in Arizona is one state, and Maine is another state, and there's a couple other New England states. They have something they call clean elections, which is funded, you know, federally, publicly funded.
Right, right.
And with the signature that you get to be on the ballot, you also must collect $5 from the person. And when you get, I think they said 1,000, or no, 200. 200 signatures, that's $1,000. Then you're on the ballot, and then you get public funding. And the folks that, you know, people that want your attention and want your favor and are willing to buy your favor, you can say, sorry, I don't agree with your position, and tell them to go hang it on their nose, which I kind of like.
Well, I don't get the $5 thing.
I don't know what that... All I'm doing is repeating what they said on Now.
Oh.
It's something with the law. You can't just get the signature. You got to get $5.
Well, okay. I just wonder.
And that's the law in Arizona, and I can't explain it because I'm not there. And all I had to go on is what they were saying. But it's the idea that it leads to public funding for elections, which... you know, when you stop and think about it, I saw just, oh, I don't know, in the last week, they said something like $2.5 billion is being spent on this year's election.
Oh, it's incredible! It's unbelievable. Our democracy has been so corrupted by money, Marge. I don't know how we're ever going to pull back. You know, I've said a million times, if I were king of the world or king of America for just a very short period of time, the first rule I would make would be that in political campaigns, nobody running for any public office could ever use television or radio or even newspaper.
Well,
that they would have to sit down with little groups of voters and explain what they're about.
The airways belong to the people. Yeah, right. Jeez. You know, they're the ones that are collecting all the money, and they're the ones that are... Oh, jeez.
I know.
I do think there's a good chance that it's going to shift, because last Saturday, in my little local paper...
You said shift, right? You said shift.
Shift, yes,
yeah, okay,
yes.
Shift.
Sorry, my teeth are loose.
Yeah, that's right. Things are going to shift.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it went the other way, then I wouldn't be talking, you know. I'd be in the corner with a bottle of something, crying.
Yeah, I know.
Congressional power shift may alter business policies. I mean, if Wall Street is already getting ready for the change in leadership, then you know it's going to happen.
Well, that's the hope, but those guys have no larger crystal ball than you and I have. So I don't know. I just hope I've got to believe that we've had enough, that the vast bulk of those who vote Republican have had enough with the criminality and the scandals and the war and the lying and the thievery.
Family values crowd.
Oh, the family values that have just been dumped
Foley
in the outhouse.
What's his name?
Which one? You talking about the minister?
What's his name? Haggard.
Ted Haggard. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's not the gay sex. It's the methamphetamine. He's just like, you know, he takes uppers. Rush takes downers. It's unbelievable. Oh. All these people, all these right wingers that have so much influence.
And we can't do anything about stem cell because, my God, you know, Michael Fox might take too many pills and sit there and shake on purpose just to make an ad.
I just want to, you know, my grandmother had a favorite expression. She was Italian. She didn't speak very good English, but they raised chickens on their property back in Ohio, Marge. And like every Saturday, they would have a chicken killing, or every second Saturday, and they would go to the hen house and they'd bring out about five or six chickens and they'd hang them up on the metal clothesline, and then they would wring their necks. So my mother or my grandmother had this expression: "I like to wring their necks." That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to wring their necks, Marge. I've had enough of these people, and I hope normal Americans have too. I hope tomorrow night that things will turn around, Marge.
Oh, golly gee!
Write down the phone number. I'm glad you found us.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You're there 5 nights.
Oh, yeah. Monday through, nothing's changed except run an hour earlier so you old people can go to bed on time.
I'm going to smack you. You got a hell of a lot of nerve talking about old people.
I know I do. I know it takes a lot of brass, doesn't it?
All right. What did you say?
A lot of brass.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for checking in, Mark.
All right. We'll sing tomorrow night or Wednesday night for sure.
We'll sing something.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Take care, Mark. All right. Good to hear from you. For people who don't know, that's Marge, who has been harassing me for, 8 years now. I love Marge. Love Marge. Where are we? Let's stay with the phone calls a while. What the hell? Gene is calling from New York. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I really got a kick out of your description of Elizabeth Dole's Tourette's outburst yesterday on
Meet the Press. Oh, my God. Did you watch that?
Yes, I did. Oh. I mean, the only thing missing was a laugh track. I swear, I have never seen a woman who has just gone so over the edge and become so dysfunctional and come up with possibly the worst GOP talking point possible, given the way things are going in Iraq. Oh, Democrats want to lose. Well, hold it. She wouldn't be saying that if this thing weren't a complete catastrophe. And why is it a catastrophe? Can you say Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney? Yeah. If, you know, there wouldn't be a war to lose if the GOP hadn't lost it for us already. Hello, Libby. Are you awake yet?
Oh, Elizabeth Dole is so far out of the loop. I don't know. I just don't know how to describe her. I didn't know. I'd forgotten she was a senator from North Carolina. She just disappears into the kudzu.
It's like the insanator from North Carolina, I swear.
I know.
Well, she was on Blitzer, on CNN Late Edition, the week before, and she was doing the same thing, cutting Blitzer off, doing all these ridiculous, simplistic Ken Melman, Karl Rove talking points. It was embarrassing.
Well, maybe she's the perfect spokesperson for the Republicans because hopefully people will see that, you know, normal people will see that and just it'll just solidify their determination to remove these people from office.
I mean, absolutely.
That's the hope.
Well, if people watch this with any kind of mind and they realize she's saying this ridiculous talking point that makes no sense because nobody wants to lose the war. And besides, the war is not in Iraq, it's in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Yemen and London and any other number of places where Osama, who is still free, by the way, and his cohorts are trying to do their business. Hello.
I know.
It doesn't take much brains, and that's why I'm pretty confident that things are going to change tomorrow unless we get debolded.
I hope they do. Gene, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk again. Take care. There are just so many things that I just want to touch on. But the election tomorrow kind of overrides everything. Rupert Murdoch said today that he had no regrets about supporting the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, and he argued that the U.S. death toll in the conflict was, quote, minute, end quote, from an historical perspective. The Republican disregard for human life is astonishing, just astonishing. And I wonder how many people now are going to be aware that Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and the New York Post, that he said, how many Americans, families, who are going to be gathering for Thanksgiving here in about 3 weeks with an empty place at the table because George Bush and his fantasies have resulted in the death of a brother or father or daughter or sister or son. And the families are going to be gathering. I wonder how many of those families who will be missing a relative understand or know that Rupert Murdoch today referred to the death of their son or daughter as minute. Son of a bitch. I just sometimes I cannot believe that I suck in the same air, live on the same planet with some of these Republicans, these right wingers who claim to be pro-life. They are pro-death. They love death. They celebrate death, or they ignore it unless it's their own, unless it's a member of their family. Astonishing that the deaths of all these Americans is minute. Rupert Murdoch, you people who tune in Fox News, do you understand what you're supporting every time you turn on that filthy network? Do you understand? You're supporting an American, now he's an American, terrorist. Somebody who disdains the life of your son, your daughter, your father, your brother. The death of your loved one was minute to Rupert Murdoch. These people are disgusting. They're just disgusting.
I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories. The best way to get the news is from objective sources. And the most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
God, think about that. It's about 10 before the hour. This just in. Focus on the Family founder, Dr. James Dobson, will be one of the people overseeing the counseling of the Reverend Ted Haggard, the evangelical psychopathic pastor who was fired amid allegations of gay sex and drug use. A senior official of Dobson's organization said today, the counseling process called restoration could take years. You know, all Ted has to do is just come out and say, yeah, someday, you know, sometimes I like sex with a man. So what's so bad about that? Right? I'm married. I have 5 children. But, you know, sometimes I like sex with a man. I realize that means I'm committing adultery, but that's about all it means. It doesn't mean anything. Just because my sex partner is a man doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Can you see that? Restoration. You know what that means by restoration? They're going to restore him to that healthy heterosexual position that most of us need to be in, right? If we're not in a healthy heterosexual relationship or willing to live in a cave and just be totally single, then I guess we're going to burn in hell. But Dobson is going to counsel this freak. Can you imagine what those sessions have been? Not just Dobson. It'll be Pastor Jack Hayford of the Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California, and Pastor Tommy Barnett from the Assembly of God in, oh my heavens, in Phoenix, right there in Phoenix. They're all going to get together. According to Haggard's statement, those men will perform a thorough analysis of my mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical life. They will guide me in the program with the goal of healing and restoration for my life, my marriage, and my family. Amen. You know, all of this because the guy is a liar and a hypocrite. That's all. All he has to do is say, yeah, I used to go to Denver and I met this guy and we'd get together and we'd have a good time. We would get together and just play. Oh, my God. And now in Texas, the Reverend, or not the Reverend, Governor Rick Perry. Governor Good Hair Rick Perry, who I understand a couple of years ago, his wife almost divorced him because she caught him in bed with another man. I don't know whatever happened to that story. But Texas Governor Rick Perry, after a God and country sermon in San Antonio, Texas, attended by dozens of political candidates yesterday, said that he agreed with the minister that non-Christians are going right to hell. The governor said, "In my faith, that's what it says, and I'm a believer of that." Oh my God. Throughout much of the 90-minute service at Cornerstone Church, Mr. Perry sat on the red carpeted stage next to the Reverend John Hagee, big old dude. Mr. Perry was among about 60 mostly Republican candidates who accepted the invitation to be introduced to the megachurch's congregation. Yadda yadda yadda. I wonder what Kinky Friedman thinks, huh? Kinky Friedman running, you know, he's Jewish, isn't he? Huh? I think he's a Jew. Anyway, Kinky Friedman said, with just 2 days to go until Election Day, he criticized the governor, Perry, saying his comments were unnecessarily divisive. Kinky Friedman said, quote, "He doesn't think very differently from the Taliban, does he?" End quote. Oh, my God. So there you have it. There's another Republican candidate who has stood up and said, "Yep, well, if you're not a Christian, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn in hell." Why? And he's a Republican, and he's an evangelical Christian, and I don't understand why the Jews in America continue to support these psychopaths just because they claim that they're working to help the state of Israel. They're not. They want to burn all of you. Don't you understand that? Huh? Let's go back to some phone calls here before I lose it. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Mike. Hearing from Marge just made my night tonight.
Oh yeah, Marge, she made my night, too.
Marge and I hold, and a couple of other people are, like, special elite Mike Malloy Show listeners. We both were bleeped at one time or another off the show.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're not going to do that again, though, are we,
Philip? Right, we've learned our lesson with that.
Amen.
I can't believe Limbaugh. Well, I can believe him, but I wonder, you know, how many people know what Saddam Hussein was actually charged with?
He was charged with executing people who tried to kill him.
Yeah, well, 148 Shias. He illegally arrested 399 people, and the charge also had torturing women and children. Meanwhile, we've got over 2,800 troops dead, over 21,000 troops wounded. We've tortured, we've illegally detained people as well. Who's the bigger war criminal here, you know?
The thing is, and I think most rational people will agree, that Rumsfeld, if they're going to find Saddam Hussein guilty, then they should find Rumsfeld guilty as an accessory to this crime. Any crime that Saddam Hussein perpetrated against his own people, as the Republicans are fond of saying, Cheney and Rumsfeld and the Republicans back during that long war between Iraq and Iran were instrumental in making sure that Saddam Hussein was well armed with every type of vicious weapon possibly available. So, as far as I'm concerned, Rumsfeld should have been tried, found guilty, and also facing the hangman's noose. Of course, that'll never happen. You know that as well as I do.
Well, we can have wishful thinking about it.
We can. Hey, Philip, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll talk again. All right, True Seekers, we have a break here. We'll be back after the break. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. If you'd like to join the fun and frivolity here in a more direct way, the phone number is 800-939-1480. And again, welcome to The Quake, 960 AM in San Francisco, who is now part of the Nova M family. Thanks a lot to the folks at that station who made the decision in response to their listeners, I would assume, to carry this program. We do appreciate it a great deal. And tomorrow night, please join us here for, what's the phrase? Expanded election night coverage live until 2 a.m. Eastern time. We'll be here on Nova M Radio. Greg Palast will be with us, KPHX Talk, that's hard to say, I'm sorry. For us Southerners, it's hard to say KPHX. But the KPHX Talk hosts, Cynthia Black and Jeff Farias, will be joining us as well for the last 2 hours. And then we'll be handing off the program to Cynthia at 1 a.m. Eastern time to finish the final hour of live coverage. So tune in tomorrow night, and we will celebrate what is going to be not the end, but certainly the beginning of the end of this corrupt, filthy Bush crime family and this drift in this country towards fascism. It has to stop. Now, I have a little funny email here from Craig in Boone, North Carolina, regarding Focus on the Phallus. Oops, I'm sorry, Focus on the Family. And the news that the Focus on the Family, Dobson is going to take over the restoration of what's his name, Haggard. It says, Dear Mike, Dobson will, quote, treat Haggard with electric shocks to the genitals, more brainwashing, waterboarding, abstinence, Bible study, Leviticus, and some fun in the dark meth closet while comparing phalluses in the shower. And they will pray that all gays go to hell. These ass clowns are so far past sick, right? And now they're saying Pastor Ted strayed because his wife gained weight. I'm serious. Because his wife gained weight. Signed, Craig in Boone, North Carolina. P.S. The flock will still vote Republican. Well, a lot of those people will, because there is nothing as toxic and poisonous and as embedded as willful ignorance, especially when you're one of these brainwashed parishioners who listen to these evangelical Christians who tell them that no Jews will go to heaven, no Muslims, no Buddhists, no nothing except Bible-believing Christians. The gays are all condemned. Little clumps of separating cells are somehow more important than children who are born to immigrants who don't have the right documents in this country now. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I have never in my life seen such a collection of sickness and disease, mental disease, and these evangelicals. I mean, come on, come on. All Pastor Ted has to do is just claim the fact that, okay, you think you're so straight, buddy? All of us have I've said it on the program before, I have a hard time even believing gay and straight, although I guess some folks are, solidly born homosexual, but heterosexuals, given the right circumstances, oh my God, are you kidding me? Given the right circumstances, I don't think there's a heterosexual male out there who, under the right circumstances, wouldn't get involved in so-called gay sex. Why do you think so many people who are in prison or in situations where there's only men resort to sex that we identify as homosexual? I get so sick of this topic. I really do. There is no way for me in my little radio program here to really get into that whole idea of sexuality being on a sliding scale for most heteros. As far as homosexuals are concerned, you can make a strong case that homosexuals are capable of non-homosexual sex, too. So what? The bottom line is, so what? What difference does it make if it's a choice or if you're born that way? Who in the hell cares? Sex is sex.
If you're going to have a baby, you do it with somebody of the opposite sex. If you're going to have fun, you can do it either way. Right? Oh, my God, what is so difficult about that? Just because some tribe wandering around the deserts of the Middle East 5,000 years ago had somebody who sat there and said, let me see now, what can I do? Okay, if a man spills his seed on the ground, that's bad. Why was it bad? Because we need people! And if a man lays with another man, that's bad. Why is it bad? Because you don't get pregnant. Oh, my God. Stop me from talking about this, will you? Please stop me. Thank you. The Washington Post now reported yesterday that during the run-up to the invasion of Iraq, Bush and his aides sternly dismissed suggestions that the war was all about oil. Remember that? Remember, were you like me and so many folks who got out there in the cold and the weather and demonstrated against a war that hadn't even begun yet because we knew what it was about. We knew that Americans were going to die and Iraqis were going to die and children and non-combatants. We knew that these right-wing fascist bastards in this country were going to do it to us and going to do it to the rest of the world. We knew it. We knew that Bush and his crime family are going to isolate us from the rest of the world, just absolutely continue their lustful destruction, destruction and deconstruction of this country. And we got out there, 10, 12, 14 million people worldwide. No, no, no. It's blood for oil. It's blood for oil. Nonsense, Rumsfeld declared back then. White House spokes geek Ari Fleischer, that's not what this is about, no. And now here we are 3.5 years later. And as the Washington Post writer so coyly puts it, someone else is asserting that the war is about oil. President Bush. Well, thanks for opening your eyes, Washington Post. What the hell was wrong with you? You supported the war. The article says, as he barnstorms across the country campaigning for Republican candidates in Tuesday's elections, Bush has been citing oil as a reason to stay in Iraq. If the United States pulled its troops out prematurely and surrendered the country to insurgents, he warns audiences, it would effectively hand over Iraq's considerable petroleum reserves to terrorists! Really? Really? He was in Greeley, Colorado, Saturday for a rally for Representative Marilyn Musgrave, a Republican of Colorado. And Bush said, you can imagine a world in which those extremists and radicals got control of energy resources. And then you can imagine them saying, we're going to pull a bunch of oil off the market to run your price of oil up unless you do the following. And the following would be along the lines of, well, retreat, let us continue to expand our dark vision, end quote. Then Bush went on, this man has got to be the dumbest man ever, right? Bush said extremists controlling Iraq, quote, would use energy as economic blackmail, end quote, and try to pressure the United States to abandon its alliance with Israel. Oh, yeah, let's put that in there. Yeah, that's good. That's good, George. At a stop in Missouri on Friday, Bush suggested that such radicals would be able to pull millions of barrels off the market, driving the price up to $300 or $400 a barrel. That's what he said. Is there any truth to it? Not a scrap. According to people in the oil industry, even if Iraq didn't sell oil to the U.S., it wouldn't matter as long as it sold it to someone, because the international market is fungible, and what counts is the overall supply and the overall demand. If Iraq cut off exports altogether, it still would not have the effect on the world market that Bush predicts. We stopped getting oil out of Iraq, and the price of oil never topped $80. But Bush says, $300, $400 a barrel! Oh, my God! And if you're not a Christian, you're going to burn in hell!
It's about oil.
It's about oil.
It's about greed. It's about rich white men getting richer. It's about fear.
It's about fear.
And control.
And control.
Of those barrels of black gold.
Texas.
Yeah, step up close to another war when we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines, I want to see it in big lights. Hello, it's about oil.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. And at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
It's not about oil. Now, we're going to have Greg Palast on tomorrow night. So what you might want to do sometime later on this evening or tomorrow is go to gregpalast.com. I would imagine it's up there, how they stole the midterm election. If you don't find it at his own website, you'll find it at The Guardian UK. How they stole the midterm election, and he's putting it in the past tense. He's got what he wrote here is pretty unnerving, so maybe you don't want to read it. But Greg will be on tomorrow night. And part of what we'll talk about will be that. Now, I've got to revisit this Saddam verdict today. And, of course, there's no politics involved here. Finding this dictator chump guilty 2 days before, or 1 day before the American election, oh, just coincidence, you know, just the way Iraqi justice works, right? I think he's a murdering son of a bitch and truly ought to be just dumped in a Shia neighborhood and see what happens. But I agree. Norman Solomon wrote something. I think he wrote it today. Saddam's unindicted co-conspirator, Donald Rumsfeld. And Solomon writes that Hussein has received a death sentence for crimes he committed more than a year before Donald Rumsfeld shook his hand in Baghdad. Right? You know, after Saddam had gone to this village and there was a plot to ice him, and he found out about it, and he rounded up 150 people or whatever it was, and I'm not trying to be cavalier about the number, I just don't know what it is, but he rounded up 150-some people and had them executed, right? After that happened... Well, here's what Solomon writes. On December 20th, 1983, the Post, Washington Post, reported that Rumsfeld visited Iraq in what U.S. officials said was an attempt to bolster the already improving U.S. relations with that country. That's after Saddam's mass killing. Now, his killing of the Kurds, didn't you find it interesting? Remember all those pictures of the bloated Kurdish bodies from northern Iraq that had been gassed by Saddam's Republican Guard? Using weapons that had come from America, that had come from Donald Rumsfeld, that had come from Dick Cheney, and yet he wasn't put on trial for that. He was put on trial for murdering people who had plotted to kill him. And I think one of the reasons, at least Ramsey Clark, former U.S. Attorney General, who was one of for a while one of Saddam's attorneys. I believe it was Ramsey Clark that said one of the reasons he wasn't put on trial for murdering the Kurds with poison gas is because in the discovery phase or in the trial, if it would have been conducted according to even close to a U.S. model, it would have come out who were co-conspirators in this. I mean, you know, if here in Georgia, if I drive a car and my friend's in the car and we go to the nearest bank and he goes in and robs it and kills six people and comes out, jumps in the car and drives away. Oh, and by the way, I gave him the gun. When they finally catch us, we're both guilty. We're both tried. And if we're found guilty, we both are executed by the state of Georgia. I didn't pull the trigger. But I'm an accomplice. I'm an accessory. So is Rumsfeld. The New York Times says 2 days later, on December 22, 1983, the Times cited a senior American official who said that the United States remained ready to establish full diplomatic arrangements, relations with Iraq, and that it was up to the Iraqis. 3 months later, the Times reported, quote, American diplomats pronounce themselves satisfied with relations between Iraq and the United States and suggest that normal diplomatic ties have been restored in all but name. And the Reagan administration had some goodies for Saddam's regime, the Times reported, including, quote, agricultural commodity credits totaling $840 million. And while, quote, no results of the talks have been announced after the Rumsfeld visit to Baghdad 3 months earlier, Western European diplomats assure that the United States now exchanges intelligence with Iran on Iran about Iran with Iraq. You know, this was during the war. Full diplomatic relations between D.C. and Baghdad were restored 11 months after Rumsfeld's December 1983 visit with Saddam, who went on to use poison gas later in the decade, actions which scarcely harmed relations with the Reagan administration. It goes on and on and on. Donald Rumsfeld is a co-conspirator in whoever died inside Iraq as a result of Saddam Hussein's actions after a certain date in early 1982, Rumsfeld has the blood on his boots, too. Now, what about that? Oh, I know. Who cares?
Our search had just begun. Tell me. Who hid the WMD in Saddam Hussein's palace? Nobody found it. That's because it came from Dallas. He went in without a clue. Now he's left Iraq a zoo. The weapon of mass destruction is our own.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy.
Walk that walk. And you talk that talk. You knocks me out.
26 before the hour. This is from Bridget. Regarding the demonstrations against this filthy war, she writes, yes, I remember walking down the streets of downtown LA in the company of tens of thousands of others, and we all knew. This brings me to the question that I've had every day since then. How is it that we knew and those we elected to represent us didn't know? She's referring to the oil aspect of this murderous war. I know, she writes, there were Democrats who voted against the war, but why didn't they all know what was coming? Why did we know there would be dead mothers and children in bombed-out homes? And why did our representatives vote more and more money to support the killing? I've been asking myself that question for the last 3.5 years, wishing that someone would ask our representatives the question, why did we, ordinary citizens with only surface general access to information, know, and you, our representatives, with access to classified documents and CIA briefings, not get it? Why did we know that Scott Ritter was telling the truth, and why did you never call him to testify? The questions go on and on. The betrayal of us all is beyond words. Perhaps one day those who closed their eyes and ears and refused to hear what we knew will prostrate themselves before the Iraqi dead and apologize. Yeah, right. Bridget. The only answer I have to that, and she's not looking for an answer, but the only answer I have, if someone would ask me, is that willful ignorance is stronger than Limbaugh's OxyContin. Limbaugh used drugs until he drove himself deaf. It's stronger than living a lying secret life. Claiming to be nothing but a pure, old, God's going to love me, heterosexual, when you're living a life of gay sex on the side, or sex that happens to be gay. Don't get me started on that again. Yeah, I wish I had answers to those questions, too. Cheney says he will refuse to testify before Congress if he's faced with a subpoena, if the Democrats win. That's in response to the Democrats saying that if they prevail in tomorrow's legislative elections, they may launch investigations into past actions taken by Bush's administration, possibly even issuing subpoenas to compel prominent officials to testify. Cheney on ABC's This Week with poor old stupid old Brutus Stephanopoulos said, quote, I have no idea that I'm going to be subpoenaed, and obviously we'd sit down and look at it at the time. But probably not, in the sense that the president, the vice president, are constitutional officers and don't appear before the Congress. I think that's been the tradition. I can't think of the last time a president did appear before the Congress or a vice president. All right, well, numbnuts, let me tell you when it happened, huh? Gerald Ford testified before Congress in the 70s. Cheney said that Ford had appeared voluntarily without a subpoena. Cheney said, yeah, he did, that's right, but not under subpoena. He did it on his own hook. He wanted to explain the pardon. Yeah, when Ford pardoned Maximo criminal Dick Nixon. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be so much easier to deal with a Dick Nixon now than this gang of Nazis? So Cheney once again displaying the abysmal disregard and disdain for history or the Constitution or our system of justice or our system of law, says no, I'm not going to do that. Screw them. You know, they can send me as many subpoenas as they want. I'll just use them as bathroom tissue. I don't care. I'm Dick Cheney. I don't give a damn. I couldn't care less. Play your little games. I'm Dick Cheney. I don't care. As far as Chuckle Nuts, I don't care what he does either. As far as Rumsfeld, he can go screw himself. I don't care about anything. I'm Dick Cheney. Do you have Uncle Mike's Story Corner music handy? Because I've got something here I want to share with you. Tonight, we put Molly to bed. Kathy read her a couple of books, and she was still scratchy, so I read her The Little Engine That Could. And we haven't done Uncle Mike's Story Corner for a while, so I thought maybe I would share, if we can find it, which we may not be able to, but if we can find the music, I want to share it with you. While we're waiting for the music, let's do another phone call here. Bill is calling from Cleveland. Bill, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Hey, Bill.
You can put me in the same category you put Marge in.
Yeah, what's that?
The last time I called into a talk show, it was either Wolfman Jack or the Big Bopper.
Oh, my God. You must be 1,000 years old.
Oh, my God. I'm getting there.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I'm working the election in Ohio.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know, that's either got to be exciting as a D-Day in Normandy, or it's got to be very discouraging. One of the two. There's no halfway ground working the election in Ohio.
It's very discouraging.
Is it discouraging?
They are setting this thing up for failure.
Well, I understand that Blackwell is so far behind, he's not even a factor in the governor's race. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good. But he still can do all sorts of mischief as Secretary of State, right?
Oh, and he's doing it.
What an evil bastard.
Oh, he is. The polling location that I'm working at tomorrow, we had to go in and set up today at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And each precinct and one polling location can have maybe up to 5 or 6 precincts.
Right.
In the one I'm in, there's 2 precincts. And each precinct has 4 people that work.
Right.
One of them is a precinct judge. Well, they've taken the experienced precinct judges, told them they can't work as a precinct judge this time, and brought in some kids from college that have no idea what's going on whatsoever, and appointed them judges.
This is another reason I hate Republicans. They never play by the rules. They know that the majority of people in this country are not Republican, are not conservative. And once they got into power illegally, the first thing they did was corrupt and pollute the system so the rest of us have to suffer their insanity.
That's what they're up to. You know, a lot of these people are up in years, and they've done this, you know, for 20 years.
Sure.
Many.
Well, that's time to get rid of them, then.
They're pushing them out and trying to add confusion to what's already a mess.
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, well, Bill, I want to hopefully we'll hear from you tomorrow when you get home, okay?
All righty, Mike.
All right, thanks. Thanks for checking in. All right, Uncle Mike's Story Corner. You got some music there, Kathy? We haven't done this for a while. that music. Hey, it's time once again for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. All comfy in your jammies on this chilly fall evening. This is entitled The Little Engine That Could. Chug, chug, puff, puff, ding, dong, along came the little train. She was carrying toys to the girls and boys on the other side of the mountain. In her cars were all kinds of toy animals, even a baby elephant. There were sailboats and drums and dolls and the funniest toy clown you ever saw. But all at once, at the foot of the mountain, the little red train stopped. She could not move at all. Now, who would pull the toys over the mountain? Just then the clown called out, "Look, a little blue engine is coming." "Please, little blue engine," cried all the dolls and toys, "won't you pull our train over the mountain?" "Oh, my," said the little blue engine, "I'm not very big, and I've never been over the mountain, but I will try." So the little blue engine hitched herself to the train. The little red engine got out of the way. She pulled and she tugged. "I think I can. I think I can," she said. Slowly, the little blue engine began to move. "I think I can. I think I can. I think I can." And up the mountain she went with the train full of toys. Finally, she reached the top of the mountain. "Hooray! Hooray!" cried all the dolls and toys. "Thank you, little blue engine." The little blue engine just smiled as she huffed down the mountain. She seemed to say, "I thought I could, I 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 thought I could." Well, I was reading that to Molly, and I just thought, well, the little red engine that couldn't make it with, over the mountain, and the little blue engine came. Oh, never mind. Either you get it or you don't, right? Back to your phone calls. Francis is calling from Wisconsin. Francis, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello there, Mike. Just called to welcome you back to the air, and I just surely missed you while you were gone, but I knew you would be back sooner or later, so...
Well, thanks, Francis.
I miss that little chuckle nuts thing that you always use, because he is a perfect example of that.
Oh, my God. The man, I swear to God, Francis, if we took your years on this planet and my years on this planet and stretched them out end to end, I don't think there has been a president as stupid or as illiterate or as vile as George W. Bush.
I agree with you 100%, because... I tell you, I never went to college. Well, I did go to a little bit of college, but I dropped out after the first semester because I couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And that little a-hole, he went to college for 4 years and to business school yet besides, and he didn't know a damn thing in the first place.
And look what he learned. All right, Francis, I got a break here. Thanks for checking
nice
in.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Mike, and I'll try calling again sometime.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Francis. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers.
Cleaning up America, one flying monkey at a time. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew. Tonight, program was engineered at Phoenix by Ian Huff. Billy Foster handled your calls coming in tonight. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives the program. Podcasting and downloads of this program are now available at novamradio.com. I don't know what to say. I really don't. It's all up to us tomorrow, Truth Seekers. They're going to try to steal it. They have purged the voter rolls. They have thrown people off. They're lying sons of bitches. And there's a couple of things we can do, and that's turn out in record numbers and vote these people out of office. If they do steal this one, then we're going to have to consider other means to get our democracy back. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. But right now, let's keep a right attitude, to be part of the solution. Make them steal it if they're going to steal it. Don't hand it over, for God's sake. I don't care how old you are. If you're over the age, if your voting age you're over up to 105 years old, and you're a normal American, get out and vote tomorrow. We'll meet at dawn. Yeah. We'll meet at 9 p.m. tomorrow. So, you know, tomorrow, during the day, and especially tomorrow night, keep it on Nova M Radio for nonstop election coverage, and stream this program tomorrow night, because we are going to do our damnedest to bring you good, intense election coverage. All right? And there's expanded election night coverage until 2 a.m. tomorrow night on this station. Well, on KPHX anyway. I'm sure that the Quake will do their own coverage. But again, Greg Palast will be with us, and KPHX talk hosts Cynthia Black and Jeff Farias will be joining us for the last 2 hours of the program. We'll be handing off the program to them at 1 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, an extra hour tomorrow night. Do we get paid for that? Never mind. All right, back to your phone calls. Let me see here. Matthew, who's calling from Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Oh, no problem, Mike. I was hearing you mention our wonderful governor, Rick Perry.
My God, that you know, I'm so sick of people hearing people say, Christians saying, if you're not a Christian, you're going to burn in hell. Oh well.
In those terms, then, I'm getting ready for a really hot afterlife.
You're right, I hear that.
But oh well, I live in Texas, so I'm kind of used to it. But you know, in terms of Rick Perry, every time I hear him say something, I just want to open up a vein or crash my head into a wall, because, listen, a lot of people around the country think that the Texas race is between two people, Rick Perry and Kiki Friedman, and that is not true at all, and, you know, I'm really glad to hear that, you know, more people, at least around this state, were getting the name of the Democratic candidate, Chris Bell, which he's a very generic Democrat, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That might work for him or work against him. But I'm worried, of course, because I live in a red state, and that means that there are so many idiots living here that Rick Perry will probably win, or enough people will throw away their votes for the independent candidates. Kiki Friedman wants martial law on the border cities.
Just remember Kiki Friedman's first name.
Yeah. And Carol Keaton Strayhorn, the other independent candidate, didn't even know during the Texas debate who the president of Mexico was.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's any doubt that Rick Perry is going to be reelected governor of Texas. I really don't. In the first place, even if it were more of a contest with just a Republican and a Democrat, the machines that are used down there are absolutely permanently skewed towards Republicans. So we can write that one off. Texas politics can just stew in its own a particular form of cesspool hell. And I'm sorry that you and other normal, decent people, Matthew, have to deal with that. But the bigger picture here, you know, Rick Perry can be totally isolated by simply getting the country back in the hands of normal people. And that means Democrats. And again, there's a lot of Democrats that, if you know, if I were Santa Claus and could fly across the planet, across the United States tomorrow in 3-4 hours, a lot of Democrats I'd really have to hold my nose and, you know, suppress my gag reflex to vote for. But by God, I'd vote for him, because the worst Democrat on the worst day of the worst Democrat, he or she is not as bad as these neo-Nazi Republicans that are out there now. So it's going to be a rough ride tomorrow. I just hope to hell that we can stay on for 7 seconds and win this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Or is it 9 seconds? I don't know. Hell, I don't know anything about bronc riding or bull riding. I think it's 9 seconds, isn't it?
I'm going for 10, man.
Is it 10? Yeah, okay. All right. All right.
After the election, whatever you do, I'm going to support you wholeheartedly. I just want to be standing right next to you when the barricades go up.
I hear that loud and clear. Thanks, Matthew. Thanks, I appreciate it. All right, you take care. As long as Matthew knows how to handle sticks and clubs and rifles and... I'm tired of thinking that. I'm just so tired of thinking that. Tomorrow's the day, Truth Seekers. Tomorrow's the day. There's just no question. Take a deep breath. Go vote. Take somebody with you if you can or if you have to. Keep the faith. Keep the faith in the United States Constitution. That's all you have to do. Just think about it. Think about the U.S. Constitution. How many people have tried to make that a living, real document? That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. Okay? I'll see you tomorrow night then. Take care. Keep it lit. All right? I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.